I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Lon Strickler back with us. He's a researcher, author, publisher of the syndicated Phantoms and Monsters blog, very successful. He began the blog back in 2005. It has grown in popularity, is read by tens of thousands of paranormal enthusiasts, investigators, and those seeking the truth. Lon, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, George. Thanks for having me. I'm hanging in there.
I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, you're fighting off the COVID and everything else?
Yeah, it's been difficult, but we're getting through it.
Different times for people, isn't it?
Mm.
It is. Hey, how did you get interested in COVIDs and these kinds of creatures, cryptids?
Well, I was doing just paranormal investigations. I had started back in the 70s. And, you know, it wasn't quite common back then like it is now, of course.
Right.
And I had a Bigfoot encounter back in 1981. And when that occurred, I instantly became interested in it because I wanted to find out what it was I saw, first of all. And I wanted to try to get an explanation as to what this thing was. And that kind of started the journey.
Did you get the answers you were looking for?
You know, I guess I did, but I, you know, there's always, you know, you get one answer, there's always another question, you know. And that's kind of had kept me going ever since. I mean, there are just so many, many strange things out there, unusual things that people can't explain. And, you know, the whole cryptid field hasn't remained stagnant. There always seems to be something else popping up, and that's what keeps us going.
A couple of years ago, there was a case in Chicago, wasn't there, of a winged humanoid?
Yeah, this actually started in 2011 when there were three sightings towards the end of the summer, and of this winged being. It had some aspects of being like a humanoid shaped being, but it had wings. The wing structures were described as being like that of a bat, but it was pretty innocuous. There was a photograph taken, though I am not sure if that was actually a photograph of the actual being itself. So as time went on, you know, that did create a bit of a stir. Those three sightings were all three reported to the MUFON CMS. And we really couldn't get a whole lot of information other than what MUFON had provided. So in early 2017, reports started showing up on MUFON CMS of these winged being sightings, winged humanoid sightings. And as time went by, a friend of mine, Manuel Navarrete, who lives in Chicago, he's a UFO investigator, started contacting me, telling me about that this had phenomenon had started again. And, there were the first several reports were made to the MUFON CMS, and then we started soliciting reports to be reported directly to us, and it started coming through. And, 2017 was crazy. I mean, it was literally unbelievable. We received 50-plus reports that year.
Wow. Of the same thing?
Something very similar.
Yeah.
There were some chain differences. The first report was kind of that of a Mothman insectoid type being. But we also had what people were calling an owl man, and with the feathered wings, and looking like what people had called a Lacusa. And but that kind of waned off a bit. And as we started getting into the summer, the reports were consistently like that of a gargoyle or bat-winged humanoid.
Wow. Now, this was the basis of your book, Mothman Dynasty, wasn't it?
Yes.
Which is a great book, by the way. And are we still getting reports of this thing?
Yeah, we are. The majority of the reports since October of 2019 have been coming from the area of O'Hara International and the suburb of Rosemont. We do occasionally get a sighting in the city itself or in the surrounding area. But I'd say about 80% of the sightings that we have gotten have come around from around the O'Hara area.
Any pilots report anything, Lon?
Yeah, it has been. We've had two pilots with reports who actually saw them while they were taxiing on the runway after their wow. flight was over, and they were coming towards the terminal, and this thing flew in front of them. We've had air traffic controllers who contacted us, other employees like transit, those who would run the transit buses at O'Hara. Other employees, we have one employee from the aviation Department of Aviation for Chicago, as well as folks who worked at the UPS sorting area on the airport as well. So, we've also, and of course, we've had security guards and, TSA guards contacting us. The airport powers to be aren't too thrilled about it. They have tried to keep this thing quiet for the most part.
Good luck for them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, people have, these folks have been brave and come forward. Everything's confidential with us, but we're very eager to hear what they have and to put their story out there.
Are people reporting one by itself or many of these objects?
We have only ever had one report of two of these things, and that was early on. That was in a boat out on the lake around the Montrose Beach area. But for the most part, it's always a singular being.
And it's flapping its wings, or is it just like floating? What's it doing?
There seems to be a supernatural aspect to these beings where they can propel themselves without the use of their wings. Now, some do use them. But, just like when these things are seen on the ground and they ascend, they do not use their wings for the most part. I mean, though there have been some, but very few.
What does your gut tell you about this thing, Lon?
Well, that's the big question. I guess I believe that there is supernatural aspect to it, and the fact that some witnesses have seen these things literally disappear before their eyes. I believe there's a multidimensional aspect to it.
Will they just come and go as they please through portals or something?
Seems that way. Why these portals are opening up or how they're opening up, we don't have any real idea. No concrete, you know, evidence of it. But the sightings overall are very fleeting. They seem to show up very quickly, are seen by the time that someone realizes and gets over the shock of seeing it and trying to get a photograph, they're gone. And but they very rarely stick around.
Does the creature look a little like Satan has been described?
You know, we've had people describe it as a demon of sorts. But, you know, if you wanted to put it in that type of genre, I guess it could be. We've had some sightings where people describe them as looking like gargoyles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess it depends on the perspective of the witness.
Lon, what have they described the face to look like?
It's varied. I like I said before, there have been some descriptions of like a gargoyle look to it, with maybe the red eyes. Not all of them have red eyes.
But a human-looking face, though?
Not necessarily.
All right.
Some seem to be a very thin face, with mostly non-human aspects to it. But it you know, it does vary. I mean, sometimes the face itself and the eyes are embedded in the upper part of the body, like that described in the Mothman. So, that you know, I can't really come out and say that it is like a chimera or something that, you know, was actually developed or engineered. But the face, for the most part, does not look too human.
Why does it, you know, seem to be around O'Hare International Airport?
Yeah, that's a big
question.
That's
weird.
You know, we have had reports as of late the possible connection to UFOs and other impossible alien beings. We've had witnesses who have seen a UFO associated with a humanoid being ascended into one of these craft. You know, we've had small humanoid type sightings around O'Hare for a long time. I mean, you know, people don't realize this, but, you know, the paranormal activity and strange activity around O'Hare and several other airports is pretty profound. A lot of strange things happen there, you know, and I, because you get a lot of different people come through a facility like that, you're going to get something to that.
It's a wonder that a plane hasn't smashed into one of these things.
Well, I can't say that it hasn't.
Really?
But, you know, as far as actually having a body or specific damage, we just really haven't gotten a report like that.
Now, this association with a UFO or some kind of craft, is it conceivable that these humanoids are the pilots of the craft?
I guess it's conceivable. You know, just like a lot of other cryptid activity, there sometimes seem to be an association with other anomalies or anomalous activity, like a UFO or maybe an alien being or a non-terrestrial being. That has shown up in this case, preferably the last year and a half or so, where people have seen other beings, unexplained beings associated with these sightings.
There's a humanoid called the Smiling Man, which is also called Indrid Cold.
Right.
Are you still getting reports of that?
Yeah, we are. I actually had a we had a sighting up in Hartwick, New York, about 6 months ago, and this is really a strange story.
What happened?
Yeah, an investigator friend of mine who lives in Queens got a call from a friend of his who told him of an encounter she had at her home of something that was described like a Mothman. And when she had the encounter and she was on the phone with him telling him this, she received a telephone call where the caller ID came up, entered cold. And, you know, she's telling him about this. Yeah, of course, she didn't know what entered cold meant. And, you know, he was flabbergasted. He didn't understand what was going on. So he hopped on a bus and got himself up there. And the week he spent up there, it was very strange. It seemed to be a lot of weird activity going on, a lot of paranormal activity. But, you know, I've talked to friends who are researchers as to the possibility that maybe the injured cold case back in West Virginia may have been related to the Mothman phenomena. And, of course, it did happen around the same time. And, you know, the distance between the sightings were not that far. Some believe it has, some don't believe it was. But the fact that that occurred and that this person, when she answered the phone, told her that she shouldn't report it and to keep it quiet, maybe 20 minutes after she had the sighting, is pretty unusual. And it kind of harkens back to the Men in Black reports that people have gotten of these humanoids, the best way you can say it, who are dressed in black, that show up suddenly after a sighting or an encounter.
That's amazing. It truly is. And when they call it the smiling man, is that what it looks like?
You know, I believe that that was kind of an exaggeration. The man who originally had the encounter, his name was Woodrow Derenberger, and I've been in contact with his daughter, and she actually has a book out now.
On this?
Yeah, because she has had contact with Indrid Cold over the years, as well as other associates of his, and she explains it in her book. So I was actually supposed to interview her this week, but something came up, so I will be having her on again. But she basically says that, you know, Indrid Cold was just like a normal human being, though he had the ability to kind of move in and out, and you know.
Did he shapeshift?
It seems that he may have something to that effect, but as far as you saying that did he have a big smile like the grinning man? I'm not sure of that. Maybe that was maybe over exaggerated to a bit, but I really can't say for sure.
That's interesting. Next half after the break, I want to talk about the not deer sightings, which are bizarre too.
Strange.
These are all strange little stories. Tell me about your Bigfoot sighting that you had.
Well, this was in May of 1981. I was fly fishing on the south branch of the Patapsco River near Sykesville, Maryland, and it's an area I'd been at many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the river, in chest waders, fly fishing, of course, and I happened to notice across on the other side of the river, on the north side, there was a dog kind of moving in and out of the weeds, and you know, I didn't pay it any mind, but I knew it was there. But not long after, I heard this thing yelp, and as I looked over there, I saw this huge, hairy being stand up into the weeds, and I could see it really well from chest up because the weeds were so high.
Definitely not a bear, was it?
Oh, no, it wasn't a bear. And as this thing stood up and I'm watching it, it moved to my left and walked out of the weeds, and I got a full view of it. I didn't know what to think at the time. You know, of course, I had heard of the Boggy Creek thing and all that, but I wasn't really into the Bigfoot phenomena. I had heard about it.
You kind of got pulled into it.
Yeah, I did. And but this thing was maybe about 50 foot away from me. It was standing there. We locked eyes, and it was making like a ticking sound, which I later discovered that it was probably gnashing its teeth. I've had other reports of something similar to that.
Huh.
And it stood there. It was definitely a male because I could see the genitalia on this thing. very hairy, about 8 foot in height, had a somewhat conical head, but it had a very, very thick brow ridge on it.
Typical Bigfoot description.
But this, in a way, to me, looked more like a Neanderthal or more human than as opposed to being a gorilla or...
Almost like the missing link.
Yeah, possibly. And, you know, if I'd have had a weapon, I'd have never shot at it. You know, so, you know, we were looking at each other for a good 5 seconds or so.
And did he run away?
He just turned around on the dime and started walking swiftly up into the woods.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.